We're back, and in this hour, joining us in the studio is Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., to talk about any number of indicators, what was good in 2018, what we're looking for in 2019. But first, I want to congratulate Michael for receiving and being named the CEO of the Year by Biz New Orleans. And for those of you that are not intimately aware of this organization, he brings a lot of different people together, creates a lot of momentum in industry sectors, floating ideas from one to another all the time, connecting the dots in on so many fronts. It's not easy, and always moving to think out of the box in economic development. And we appreciate what you do day in and day out, Michael.
Hey, Newell, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
You're looking younger every day.
21, man. I can finally drink today.
Forever 21. Hashtag. But thanks for the accolades. I guess two comments on that. You know, one is that it's nice to get the recognition, but it also is humbling and to some degree a bit awkward, because what makes us effective and the reason why we've had our wins is that we've got an extraordinary staff at GNO Inc., some of the most able and energized people, an incredibly supportive board of about 90 people who donate their time and their treasure, and then all of our stakeholders. And in fact, our annual meeting that's happening next month in February, the theme is Come Together, the Power of Partnership, because our ability to come together as a team, something that frankly I think is modeled on the Saints under the leadership of Brees, is one of the real reasons that we win and sets us apart. And every time that we get a major win, the company tells us, one of the reasons that we chose Greater New Orleans is that your teamwork, your level of partnership was better than we saw anywhere in the country.
And I would echo that. I mean, because I've seen you guys be able to have New Orleans cheerlead for Jefferson, Jefferson cheerlead for New Orleans, both of y'all cheerlead for St. Tammany. And we have to all rise together if we're going to kind of move from a third-tier city, metro area to a second tier. It begs of it.
Well, that's right. Look, we're too small if we stand apart in our parochial. New Orleans as a city, 390,000, just not big enough to compete against the Houstons or the Atlantas or Nashvilles. And what we have today is that we recognize it's for the greater good. Even DXC, the biggest economic development win in Louisiana history, part of the reason that we got it is that after they made the decision that no, they weren't going to go to Baton Rouge, but they were going to still consider New Orleans, the folks in Baton Rouge got behind the effort and said, yeah, y'all should go to New Orleans because we want you in Louisiana. And when a company sees that, it really does send a message.
That is the out-of-box thinking that we need in order to succeed, because we have a lot of challenges. I mean, let's be honest about it. It's not all a rosy picture, and we have to overcome those challenges.
No, that's right. I mean, look, on one hand, we have blessings that nobody else in the country has with our river and with our energy and with our culture. But on the other hand, it's almost been the curse of riches, and it allowed us for many decades to not develop the good structures and the good habits that other places developed. And as a result, there's a lot we're trying to fix in the economy, on the social side. And so we do have a lot to work on, but I think the glass is half full and rising.
We had a lot of big wins and successes in 2018. Tell us about those.
2018 was a fascinating year, Newell, because it was a tumultuous year. It felt that way for everybody at every level, national, state, local. But in the end of the day, we had wins that got us the top three business stories of the year. We got Avondale back into commerce after 8 years. In fact, the first ship in almost a decade docked there this week. And that's the kind of thing that if you understand what the importance of Avondale was historically, the thousands that have worked there and developed a middle class family support, it's incredibly significant that Avondale was brought back online through great partnership with Jefferson, with the Port of New Orleans. We made that happen. That was the number one deal. DXC going into the Freeport-Matmoran building, they're promising over 2,000 jobs right here on Poydras Street. Not only significant because of the jobs that they're going to bring, but the fact that they're going into the Freeport building actually symbolically represents the diversification of our economy. And as of today, our region is number one in the country for technology job growth. And inside of that, we're number five for African-American participation in their jobs, number seven for women. So it's what we call inclusive innovation. And then finally, Newell, Formosa Plastics, up in St. James, a $9.4 billion project, 1,200 jobs, average salary $85,000. We've had over $20 billion of petrochemical announcements over the past 3 years. Extraordinary what's happening. And even now in Plaquemine, we have about $20 billion of projects under development in Plaquemine. So it's across the spectrum. We're economically, we're rolling. We're doing pretty well.
And as we think about, I guess you guys are always thinking about building on your successes. And what I like about this is a nice diverse thing, because there is, I guess, the opportunity for some kind of interrelational development of things amongst those many sectors as well. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of about critical mass. Once you get enough momentum in these sectors that begin to intersect, probably the one that I think is most intriguing right now is we recently announced that LM Wind Power was setting up their Technology Center of Americas down at Mishu. They are building some of the longest windmill blades for offshore wind power in the world, up to 150 meters long, 1.5 football fields long. They're now talking about Mishu, where we're also building the mission to Mars, becoming the global manufacturer and testing center for the longest windmill turbine blades in the world. So what that means is that we have two things that are going to be coming out of Mishu, two sectors coming together. Advanced manufacturing, because of course it's very advanced, the techniques to build these incredibly strong and light windmill blades. But then it's also energy, because offshore wind power is now beginning to turn the corner and become a viable source of energy. So you're right, Newell, when the things start coming together, that's when you get serendipity, and that's when you get real economic strength.
Kind of interesting. We've been involved in capturing fossil fuels for ever in a day here in this city and state, and it's been very important to our economy, and now we're developing alternative resources.
That's right. And of course, the fossil economy is going to continue to be very important, and deep water exploration in the Gulf, which is it's interesting. You talk about the mission to Mars, our deep water exploration for oil and gas is kind of like space travel in the wrong direction.
Right.
It's that sophisticated, and you know, that's happening out of here as well.
We got to get to a break, but when we return, we'll talk about 2019 and what we see on the horizon and what that landscape may present. As we're already 2 weeks into 2019 already. It flew by. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for Sunday. This week has dragged by. And remember, I want everyone to leave their voice in the dome. You go to work hoarse on Monday morning. That's when you know you've given it your all in the dome, as the 12th man can make a difference. We would love to have about 5 illegal procedure calls because they can't hear the snap count. That would be, I think, wouldn't you think that'd be the target of success in the dome?
I think that's absolutely. You know the way you draw, you know, you judge Mardi Gras by garbage. I think we're going to judge this one by decibels.
There you go. I like that. I talked to Wade Regas yesterday, and we were talking about wage growth as well. And what I love about DXC and Formosa and all of these companies that we talked about coming in, and obviously everything going on at Mishu, these are high paying jobs.
Yeah, that's right. Almost all the announcements that we make are $65,000 a year plus benefits and up. And the reason why it's so important is that historically, certainly going back to the early 80s, New Orleans was really kind of a two-trick pony in terms of the economy. You had tourism and hospitality, which had a number of our biggest employer, and then you had oil and gas, which was smaller and created wealth but was cyclical. You didn't have a lot, you know, in the middle. And so a lot of the jobs that we're bringing in here right now, whether it's the Formosa or it's the DXC or it's the LM Wind Power, these are jobs where people can get in and raise a family and build our middle class. And that's really what we need at a macro scale.
Absolutely. So when we think about the 2019 landscape, what are you getting excited about?
You know, it's going to be an interesting year, maybe in the Chinese proverb way, but there's a ton that's looking really good for us on the horizon. Most excited about the airport, the new terminal opening up in May. It's going to be beautiful. We are now the number 3 fastest growing airport in the entire country over the past decade. And this new terminal, besides being beautiful and looking like a modern airport, it's actually going to have higher revenues and lower operating costs than the current terminal. And that's going to allow us to attract even more airlines and
grow. In plain English, that's a good thing.
Plain English, what the airlines want is the cheapest place to safely land. This one's going to provide that while also looking good.
Good.
I'm really excited about the 2019 election, actually, at the state level. We are going to actually have turnover of about half of the legislature between term limits and then also people moving around. So recognizing the opportunity and also, I guess, the threat that that represents, we've created a document called Reform for Louisiana Future, Louisiana's Future, which has 10 planks, things like tax structure, our constitution structure, infrastructure, higher ed, criminal justice. And we talk about what we need to do to allow Louisiana to move forward and to leverage all of our great assets. You can find it on the web at reform.ginoinc.org, reform.ginoinc.org. But it's basic things like our current tax structure looks expensive, but actually we're fourth cheapest in the country. That doesn't make sense. We should fix that. Infrastructure, we have crumbling roads and bridges. We've got to get to that. Criminal justice, we are no longer the most incarcerated place in the universe, and that's good, but we have to continue that progress while reinvesting in community programs. So that's what we're talking about for 2019 at the state level.
You know, Michael, folks are always looking for that one silver bullet panacea solution to everything. It doesn't exist. Those of us like you and me that have worked in the trenches for a number of years, we recognize that it's an accumulation of sometimes very small wins, right?
That's right. Economic development or community building in general is like rock climbing. You get one handhold, and then you look for the next dime-sized piece of rock that you can grab onto. And at some point, you say, you know, my God, I made it to the top. Right now, I'm reading the biography of Lee Kuan Yew, who took Singapore from 1965 to the millennium from being a real backwater, discarded by Malaysia, to third highest GDP per capita in the world. It's an extraordinary story. And even under his incredible leadership, a relatively small place, it took 45 years.
Yeah. So when we think about one of the things, healthcare, Ochsner's grown to a very, very big system now, I think 60 hospitals across the state.
Right.
UMC mm-hmm. is moving forward alive and well. The VA is nothing but a success from any things that I hear, yeah. You know, and hardly anything negative. I was looking at a study the other day, VA home buying up substantially in Louisiana and specifically in the greater New Orleans area. That's a good indicator as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Actually, if you look at the two sectors where we are number one in the country in terms of growth, it's technology and it's healthcare. And healthcare, again, yeah, thanks to what Ochsner is doing at LCMC and the VA. And then if you look at other studies about what are the highest paying industries in the country, it's technology and healthcare. So we're placing the right bets. And yeah, for veterans, I think there's a great opportunity. We actually brought over a nonprofit called Next Stop from Houston that now places returning servicemen and women in jobs like technology and energy. And just in general, I think, Newell, for retirees, if you had the choice between retiring to Fort Lauderdale or New Orleans, I'll just let the viewers, listeners decide for themselves. It's a great opportunity and actually one of our fastest growing demographic segments.
Well, what you find here, and we talked about this yesterday, is how spoiled we are. Although we are lacking in infrastructure, we travel in quarter-hour increments. Those on the eastern seaboard travel in one-hour increments. We're spoiled.
You know, we are. I remember when I was living back in New York, to get anywhere, even a block away, was a 45-minute trip. It seemed you just knew it would take that long. And 45 minutes is quick. If you're Atlanta, it's an hour and a half. Now, if it takes me more than 12 minutes to get from uptown to downtown, I'm fuming and I say, oh, God, it's just in the name of progress. No, you know, we're at a very special moment here, but it actually also begs another question. There are a lot of things that point towards a lot of growth here. So it's important now we start to plan for success. And that means you have to plan for things like affordable housing at every level. You have to plan for regional transportation so individuals can get from Jefferson into New Orleans, from St. Bernard into downtown. And if we plan for success, then what we're going to see is that everybody's going to be able to participate in this growth. And we're going to look back in 20 years and say, man, that was an extraordinary turnaround for the region and for New Orleans. But if we don't and we just let it kind of happen organically and happenstance, then we might not end up in the right place in terms of infrastructure or in terms of opportunities for our citizens.
You know, in this backdrop, in the discussion with short-term rentals, I asked the question of Councilwoman Palmer the other day, is this an opportunity for us to really think out of the box and try and help develop some of the blighted housing that we have here? When you talk about, you know, everything about gentrification is a negative connotation, and I see it on the flip side as a very positive thing. Now, we have to have smart and balanced growth and make sure that all the economic sectors have the achievable housing that they can get there and they're not a working poor.
That's correct. So it's got to be the right percentage of income. But the fundamental thing about housing, and I know that the mayor gets this because she talks to me about it, it's about supply and demand. If you really want to ease housing, you just need more supply. So you look at the 30,000 blighted properties in New Orleans, get them back online, and it's going to help. In my opinion, we should be building on the river, all up and down, 8-story buildings, mixed income levels. That's going to help ease it as well. There are ways.
Why do you think in this city that we've not exploited the river? You go to any other major city, whether it's a bay or a river, you know, the Ohio River, right. even in Memphis, they have Mud Island out there. Right. You know, every place you go, they exploit that view. It's the most incredible. It's one of the it's so relaxing to watch an ocean going ship moving right. up, or a smaller vessel going down the river. And, you know,
like, I think it's that. Well, you know, one, we are starting to now. And of course, the Crescent City Park, which eventually will go from Poland Avenue up to the Huey P, will be the longest contiguous waterfront park in the country. But the river was traditionally industry. It was traditionally considered a nuisance in terms of quality of life. And then, of course, we have the large wall, the flood wall. So we haven't seen it. It has not been part of us. But now, look, not just the river, but how about the lake?
The lake is the same thing.
It's spectacular. But the only place you can actually go is if you get one of those fake tiki huts at Fontainebleau State Park and go and look out there. I mean, and if you squint, you know, it can kind of get you there. So I think developing along water from an economic development standpoint makes sense. But on the river, that's also our highest ground. So that's a safe place to build. And so I think that there's a great opportunity there.
Yeah, you know, it always just struck me as odd that we've not had like a strategic plan to deal with that, because the industry on the river has changed. Mm-hmm. And there are new opportunities south. We have the possibility of an exciting container yard in yep. St. Bernard, which would be huge. Deep water there, immediate access to a lot of acreage that we don't have in the traditional port that we have in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a great opportunity for me to give a shout out to our ports. Up in the river region, the Port of South Louisiana, extraordinary partner. We had another announcement last week, a $2 billion South Louisiana methanol project. But the Port of New Orleans has really evolved under the current administration and board from being a landlord-tenant port to being an economic development engine. Avondale, St. Bernard, and, of course, the six Class A railroads, all now being controlled by the port. It's exciting times on the river, not to mention, of course, the cruise industry, number six.
Cruise industry, and we oftentimes only think of the port on the east bank. There are huge opportunities on the west bank of the river, all the way from Plaquemines, you know, up to West Baton Rouge.
That's right. Hello, Avondale.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we're going to be right back. Michael Heck joins us, president and CEO of GNO Inc. If you have a question, give us a call, 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. Just a reminder, we got to leave our voice in the dome on Sunday. We go to work hoarse on Monday. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. We're back with Michael Heck, president and CEO of GNO Inc., and we'll go to the talk lines. Thomas on line one. What say you, Thomas?
How you doing?
Doing great.
I just have a question. I live in eastern New Orleans. I've been out here for 32 years in my house, and it just seems like the property values never goes up out here. So is anything in the works to make the property value, the value? Because I live in a five-bedroom, four-bath house. I just want to sell it so I can move to a smaller place. And it's just hard to, you know, you can't get nothing for it.
Yeah. Michael?
Yeah, no, I think it's been a paradox out in the east, because you've got a population of about 90,000 with above median income, and we just haven't been able to get it, you know, catch fire yet. Some things I think are looking really promising out there. I think you're going to see increased building at Michoud and around Michoud. We also have a project underway to actually let people know that every spaceship since Apollo has been built out in New Orleans East. Then I know that the mayor has a number of plans to attract some major big box retail out there. I think that if you're able to get somebody out there like an IKEA, you would see a halo effect, and then you'd get others coming out there. I think, sir, you're exactly right. It's a strange and frustrating thing. But once we get the first break that's going to send a signal to the market, folks are going to come flooding in, including, by the way, white tablecloth restaurants, which I think is only one or two right now in the East. But another part of this as well is that we've got to make the transportation work so that it's fast and easy to get into the downtown core from the East. Once that's set up, too, that means that having a beautiful home like yours out there will actually make more sense from a commuting standpoint. So I agree with the frustration, but there are efforts underway, I know, with us and with the mayor to take care of it.
They paved my street, and they're doing a lot of work. I'm right off of Mishu. I live actually right a block or so from Mishu, so they're fixing all the streets, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, do you see those big windmill blades that they truck out of there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're building up on my street is pretty good. So, but I just, like I said, if I sold it right now, I couldn't get much more than I paid for it. And I've been in the house for 32 years.
Yeah, what I would say, sir, is that building on the comment from the last caller is I think if you have a little bit more patience, when it flips, it's going to flip hard. People are going to have to find alternatives, and the pressure is going to push people to New Orleans East, to St. Bernard, and then to the North Shore. And so I think you're going to be in a good position with a nice home in an area that's got a lot of business coming to it.
Okay, well, thank you very much. That sounds encouraging. I thank you for that.
Mr. Thomas, thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Gary in Shreveport. What say you, Gary?
How you doing, sir?
Doing great.
Appreciate your service.
Thank you.
My son's a Jefferson Parish policeman, and he loves his job.
Good deal. Love to hear that.
I got two questions for y'all, and then I'm going to hang up because I'm driving. I know the Port of Orleans owns the land along the Industrial Canal, and it looks so undeveloped. I work there, and I see potential for, having condominiums, off of France Road right there on the Industrial Canal right by the lake. And it looks like just land is not even being utilized. You could put condominiums on the waterfront itself and entice people to move towards that area. And my other comment is, why do we let the companies slip through our fingers that I'm pretty sure we could help out? Case in point, UB Pies. I'm familiar with the family. I mean, I know not much about them, but I know people that know them. Why is such an iconic label just slips by the wayside? There's got to be a way the city of New Orleans, even Justin Parish, could partner with them people with a building and help them get them back up on their feet. I mean, everybody loves UB Pies, and it's just a waste to let that iconic name and product, the product sells itself, and just go by the wayside.
Well, my doctor put an end to UB Pies for me.
Hey, Gary, it's a good question, and those questions are actually related, because if you first look out at the Industrial Canal, I agree with you. It has a lot of potential for mixed use. The good news is there's two things happening there. One is it is an opportunity zone. It's one of the 25 that are in New Orleans, the 45 that are in the region. And that's going to be attracting a lot of capital as people begin to shift and invest in projects in the opportunity zone. So we right now are actually about to hire a firm, one of the national experts, to help us develop a strategy to get people to invest in areas very much like the Industrial Canal. The second part of that is that you're seeing activity out there. Specifically, you've got Dixie Brewing out there, thanks to Mrs. Benson and the Saints and the Pelicans. And I think that with Dixie being an attraction and a success, it's going to begin to spur other activity around there. Dixie is an iconic brand that, under Mr. Benson's leadership, that we were able to bring back. Then if you switch over to Hubig, I know that a lot of individuals have tried to make that work, and I don't know exactly why, Gary, it hasn't happened yet, but they haven't been able to strike the right deal yet with the family on that.
Yeah, and sometimes there's not, it's not going to work out. The distribution system of that product has changed, and I liked it, still do. Actually, now you got me hungry, Gary.
I know. Well, actually, I'm going to Shreveport because we evacuated from Katrina to Shreveport. My daughter lives up there now. My son-in-law is a cattle parish sheriff detective. I mean, their life is rolling along, and I'm the one on the highway every other weekend.
Yep. Well, you be careful out there, Gary. Thanks so much for the call. Got to get to another break, 260-1870. We're talking with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. Stay with us. I think I might just walk over to the Dome right now and just hang out there till Sunday.
Choppa.
And I'm sure I can convince a lot of people to bring me some food, most importantly, drink. And we can have a good couple of days out there.
We will keep you alive until 3:20.
What does G&O Inc. think about that?
Yeah. We think it's a capital idea. But listen, but there's a real point to this. So a ranking just came out that the voters of Condé Nast just voted New Orleans the number 3 big city in the country, right behind Chicago and New York. And what's interesting is that Chicago and New York are each 10 times as big as New Orleans. We punch way above our weight. And I got to say that the Saints and the Pelicans, they're a major part of that, particularly the Saints. They give us this big city feel. They give us millions of viewers and fans around the world. And, man, I mean, if Steve Gleason hadn't blocked that punt on September 25th, 2006, we would not be sitting here today talking about how smart we are.
Yeah. You know, I I'll ask you this because you travel in these circles around the country. We couldn't buy what we're going to get this weekend in TV, radio exposure, so forth and so on. I mean, you just couldn't buy it.
It's priceless. It's immeasurable. And in fact, when we were talking to DXC Technology about going into the Freeport building by the Superdome, I said, guys, I can't put a number on it, but you're a $21 billion company and you couldn't buy this branding.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. It's so true on so many different fronts. So I'm going to put you on the spot. You're going to be at the game Sunday?
You know what? As of now, I'm not going to be at the game on Sunday.
Is that a solicitation?
But this does not constitute a solicitation. Actually, the real reason is that my dear wife, who's a diehard Saints fan, actually is hard of hearing, and the decibel levels get so loud at the playoff games, it's actually physically uncomfortable for her. So we're gonna go watch with friends, but we're gonna be there. In spirit, absolutely, and listen to Mark Romig saying, move damn chains.
And your prediction.
Oh.
You're a numbers guy, man. I'm putting you on the spot, you know. And an analytical thinker, so.
I think it's going to be a tremendous game. I think it's going to be hard fought in the first quarter, and I think you're going to see the Saints pull away in the second half, and I could see some type of 28-14 type of score.
Yeah, and you know, you got to get your wife to listen to Zach and Deuce on WWL. Turn down the TV, put the DVR thing on, and slow it down, and listen to WWL.
Yeah, and you know, Zach's done a great job on that. We already knew the Deuce was good, but I once went bowling with Zach. It was a humbling experience, man. He generates a lot of momentum.
No, he's done a great job, and I listened to him at all the games. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got a busy schedule, a lot of things going on, but I think that people really appreciate the news that you bring and the manner in which you deliver it, and we appreciate it as well.
Well, Newell, thanks so much. We appreciate you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir.
And everybody out there, who dat?
All righty, ready for your chance to win $1,000? In the Entercom National Cash Contest, the code word this hour is YEAR. Y-E-A-R, Y-E-A-R to 72881, at 72881, text now, and you could win the $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word just before the top of the hour, every hour, now through 6 p.m. $1,000 is up for grabs. Win it for your wallet. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive. In the next hour, we're going to be talking Saints. We're going to want to hear from you, so stay with us. This is Newell on WWL.